Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of AUP Radio on WRP. Today, we're going to hear two segments. The first, Silly Little Chit Chat with me and Lauren, and next, Chefing It Up with Emma and her guest. I hope you enjoy the show. Now I'm driving around on the boulevard, trunk bleeding. And every time the cops pull me over, they don't ever see them. They never see them. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back to Silly Little Chit Chat
with Mia and Lauren.
Today we have a special guest, Bosco.
Hello.
Bosco is a good friend. He goes to school with us. Introduce yourself a bit.
My name is Bosco. I'm from Tenerife. I lived 10 years in Madrid. Now I'm living in Paris. And yeah.
Pretty cool.
Super cool.
So absolutely. What are we talking about today, Mia?
We are talking about cuffing season.
Cuffing season.
Like how it like transfers over from like America to France. And also we're going to talk a little bit about getting into relationships while you're abroad.
So yeah, while in Paris. Or
me coming from Spain, I have no idea what cuffing season is.
Yeah. So
please
cuffing season.
Please explain yourself.
Cuffing season is, like, you know how there's, like, hot girl summer?
No.
You've never heard of hot girl summer?
No.
Are you
That's
serious?
That's wild.
I'm serious.
Okay, so basically, it's, like, this thing, how it's just this idea that in the summer, everybody's single. It's, like, time to be a hoe. Like, it's just, like, a time for people to be single and basically fuck around and stuff. You know, it's, like, the vibes of the summer. You get it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in the winter, it's just the opposite. And it's called cuffing season. You know what cuffing is? Cuffing is getting into a relationship. No. Cuffing season is getting into a relationship. So yeah, cuffing is getting into a relationship. So cuffing season is the season of getting into a relationship, which is like fall, winter.
And like
so
people also
you only do it like in the lazy months.
Yeah.
Or you're fat, you don't go to the gym.
No. Not necessarily. Well, it's just like
yeah. It's like a cozy time.
Yeah,
you know,
you want
to cuddle up.
Also,
it's not time to be in the streets. Like,
but
being
you're not
a
denying
hoe.
It. You're not denying it.
That you're fat.
Yeah, like
no
lazy.
No,
I mean
it's a lazy
it's also,
time of the year where
no.
you don't want to go out and look for something.
But it's
you
want to
yeah,
have it guaranteed.
Kind of. It's not really about being fat though.
There's like the holidays though, and it's like people want to be in a relationship during the holidays because it makes them feel good.
Why?
It's like
because you can do Christmas activities
Christmas
together.
And like you get a present.
Would you like to be in a relationship for this Christmas?
No.
Why?
Because I'm just not.
I don't think it's about Christmas.
I think personally, I mean, the whole idea of like cuffing season is like you get into a relationship before the holiday times. Like not necessarily Christmas, but like, I don't know, like that's why, you know, it's like, oh, Halloween, you meet someone and then you're with them for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, blah, blah, blah.
That's funny. I don't think of it that way.
I, like, think that's, like, the general consensus.
I think it's, like, as it gets colder, like, it gets dark earlier, like, you're just at home more. You want someone to, like, stay in with, like, watch movies with.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But I also think that a big part of it is the fact that it's, like, holiday season.
Me, for example, I don't get into cuffing season because I know by the time I break up with my relationship, I'm going to be heartbroken for 3 years.
Okay.
Yes, come on, it's true.
Okay, so you just, like, don't.
If we take into account my last girlfriend, which I'm not going to name.
Okay.
Come on, I still think about her, and it's been, like, 2 years.
Okay.
Well, that's also because you haven't found someone else.
That's fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you also haven't found someone else.
Not in such a way, no.
Exactly. But if you were,
I mean, not necessarily.
Oh, I don't know.
Not necessarily. Like, you don't really need, like, I
you don't
like
need to get under someone to get over someone.
Yeah, exactly.
But
It helps.
We're getting off track.
Sorry. That's true.
Okay. So, we're talking about cuffing season. I mean,
yeah. So, we kind of already talked about why it exists. But what's your other point of view? You said you had another point of view to this.
Yeah. My point of view towards cuffing season is, well, first of all, I've never heard the term.
Mm-hmm.
No idea what it is. Mm-hmm. I also find it a bit stupid only to get into a relationship during holiday season to do...
It's not only...
Like love activities, which it's would be like baking cookies and like decorating a Christmas tree. For me, it's like... I don't want to say like desperation.
Like it's just late. People get lonelier, so they're more down to have a relationship.
Yeah, but me, I'm lonely every day of the week.
And of the year? Know,
not of the year, because I get to see my family. But I'm lonely. But it's not a reason for me to go out in cuffing season and find a girl only to be fine.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? I'm not going to start a relationship with a girl which doesn't fit me, but...
Yeah, of course.
But it's a stupid reason, because you're trying to find something for the holidays. But, I mean, hey, if you find somebody who fits you in that
exactly.
time period, congratulations. But for me, it's impossible.
I think maybe you're just pickier, too.
But I don't even
Some
think
Some people
that.
Get along with more people
Don't
on
you
that
think,
level.
In my, well, maybe it's my case, that I met a girl during summer in your hoeing season, but you still like her, and the only cause that I'm not living there is preventing me to start a relationship with her, but still wait to not start one so you can have something with her when you come back.
You're saying this is what you're doing?
Not what I'm doing, but a reason.
I mean, yeah, but
yes,
like,
I think that's what I'm
more
doing.
Okay.
So Maybe. You're basically just waiting to get in a relationship with someone, and you're not dating anyone else so that you can date her.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if someone better comes, please. But right now, I think that might be one of the reasons why I'm still single.
Okay. So that's why you're not, like... I agree on the fact that, like, cuffing season's kind of just, like, not that... I don't know. I think it's just very, like... You don't really... I don't think it's necessary. Like, I think it's kind of, like, overrated. And I don't really, like the idea of participating in it. Because it just feels like, oh, it's, like, something, like, that you have to do. And, like, yeah, it's also, I feel like, super coincidental. Because, like, it's easier to meet someone serious in, like, the fall, I think. But I agree. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people who just, like, get into a relationship with someone because they feel like they have to instead of, like, vibing with someone and then getting into a relationship just because it is, like, cuffing season, quotation marks.
It's a bit of a stupid reason.
Yeah.
Well, I've been dating someone for, like, 5 years in a row, like, people, not one person, so.
What?
Wait, what?
Like, I've had someone, like...
I mean, yeah, me too. But, like, still, it's,
You've
like...
You've dated someone for the past 5 years, you're saying?
No.
No, she's saying, like,
I've had a boyfriend for the past 5 years. Not the same boyfriend.
Yeah. Right.
But, like...
So, have you had your hoeing season, as you said before?
I would say so. Let's talk about finding relationships while abroad. Like, while in Paris.
All right.
I mean, what's difficult about it? Your experience...
I mean, it's very difficult. If we think about the place you come from,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
the amount of people you know there compared to the city you're
in
now.
But you meet people.
But it's so hard
huge,
to meet people.
Is huge.
Yeah.
If we take the example, let's take my example. I lived 10 years in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's my second year in Paris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The amount of people I still need to meet is unbelievably big.
Yeah.
So there's a bigger chance for me to find a person I'm going to love in Madrid than in Paris. Yeah.
But also, you know everybody that you know in Madrid. And maybe it hasn't worked out for a reason. Maybe you haven't found that person for a reason, you know? Here, there's so many people to meet. Maybe there's more chance to find love here because you don't know them.
The issue is it's hard to meet people here.
Yes.
So it's not like he can just, like... Or anyone can easily just be like, find a new person. It's like, oh,
yeah
this
true.
Is the
that's
reason.
Really
it's just like it's so...
It's
like,
kind of hard to find people anywhere, though.
I mean, I could agree,
no.
but it's also like, here there's a language
no, you're
barrier.
Right.
If you want to meet someone, there has to be someone that takes you by the hand and like properly introduces you to people.
And it's
yeah,
like,
that's true.
That's what
like
happened to me in Madrid. In Madrid,
mm-hmm.
you know, it took me 10 years. I fell in love with Madrid in
mm-hmm.
2016.
Mm-hmm.
September,
mm-hmm.
when my sister started university,
mm-hmm.
and they started taking me out and started meeting new people.
Yeah.
You fell in love in Madrid or with
Madrid?
Madrid.
Uh-huh. With Madrid.
Yeah.
And if I take that in Paris, that still hasn't happened yet the same way it happened in Madrid. But it took me 5 years.
Yeah.
And also, like, the thing is, like, here, there's also, like, the language barrier.
Absolutely.
So it's, like, at home in New York, you know, I speak English. I can go to a bar. I can meet someone.
That's
I can be, like, here, like, banter,
same
whatever.
Same values, same, like, I think it's a lot about humor.
I was also just going to say that.
Humor's really different in languages.
I could banter with someone hella in New York. Exactly. Here, I come
or, like,
here,
if you find an American here.
Yeah, or but, like, also, even, like, I come here, I go to a bar, whatever, talk to
you don't get along
a nice
the same
little
way.
French man, and he doesn't understand any of the jokes I'm making, and I'm just like, what's the point of this?
Yeah, that's really
absolutely
true. Same for you with Spanish people.
Language is even confident. If you're not confident in yourself, not speaking the language is a big factor. If you're not being confident of yourself, it's gonna tip you over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy.
Yeah, because then it's like...
If you want to meet someone, it has to be in a very, very... comfortable way where either of you feel comfortable, but still there's nothing from the outer world, which would be Paris, intruding your privacy with her.
Yeah. Or him.
Yeah.
But there's also like obviously we go to school with like a bunch of people that speak English.
Yeah.
But like it's also I feel like it's just so also insanely hard to meet people here because everyone's so like grouped up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of students here in this university have their own personal group and don't open up to new cultures, maybe.
It's not a very big community at our school. Like, people kind of have their friend group or their extended friend group, but it's not like...
This university doesn't feel familiar. It's not like a big family.
Yeah, no.
It's not. Like, in Spain, we were 140 students.
Mm-hmm.
And
at
it was
your high
a
school?
Big family.
Oh, in your uni.
In my university.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we knew everyone. It was, you know, it was a really nice place to be. You could ask for, I don't know, for water to anyone. They would give it to you. It's not strange because you know everyone.
Yeah.
But here, as everyone has their groups, they don't open up. They also don't want to learn any other language, which is not theirs.
Yeah.
So it's a bit... You know, it's a bit uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things I really hated about the school when I was in my, like, semester where I didn't like it here.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, like, it seems like we're in, like, graduate school already. Everybody comes to school, takes their classes, and then just, like, disperses
Leave.
To their own lives.
Yeah.
And there's no sense of community. There's no sense of, like, anything like that. That's something I really didn't like.
I used to have a bigger or I used to have more social life with my friends from university in Spain than I'm having here. Like, I even have friends from that same university that came to this university, and I see them less now than I used to do in Spain.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's all just, like, I feel like it's just so hard to, like, get out of, like, a certain group here, so it's, like, so hard to, like, meet new people. It's
How do you
so
mean
hard.
Get out of a certain group?
Like, once you're in a specific, like, friend group or you have, like, your friends, like, it's really hard to meet new people and expand that
because
group.
Because you get lazy. It's
yes,
your comfort
yes.
zone.
Yeah. It's so true.
It's your
true.
I remember when I arrived here, I didn't even speak French.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible, but I tried my best. Wherever I go, I'm like, hey, how are you? Where are you from?
Yeah, you're very social. It's very good.
Yeah, you are very
and
social.
To find a group, like my friend group, it took me like till November, January, the ones in university.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we went together to the first week of university where they teach you everything. What's the name of it?
Orientation week.
Orientation week.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't talk to them at all until November came.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be trying until you find your group. And once you find it, it's not a reason to stay.
Are you
in
talking
your comfort
about like?
Zone. But for example, I didn't stop when I met them. I kept going until I met all the Spanish ones, which don't even come to university.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to ask friends from somewhere else, like, hey, do you know some friends here, blah, 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 meet up with them, little by little. But the problem here is that people get too comfortable in the comfort zone, and they stay there.
Yeah.
And they don't open up to new people.
Yeah, I mean, but that's really easy to do, too. Like, you just get lazy to
of course
go out, make an effort.
It's very easy to stay at home and eat shit food for the whole year. It's harder to get home, eat healthy, and go to the gym and come back and do your work.
Well, I think we're getting off topic now.
Yes,
we're
absolutely.
Talking about friends.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... It's easy to stay home and be like, oh, I don't really have a lot of friends, and go out and
put
on a face.
So the cuffling season is lazy because you get into a comfort zone. You don't have to go out.
Yeah.
You don't have to prepare yourself because you have a partner. I
mean, yeah, you do. It is a form of comfort.
I think it's just because it's cold outside.
No. I think that there's so much more than that.
So you're telling me if you live in a tropical place, like take, for example, Hawaii, which I suppose has nice weather.
No, I guess, it's less fun. Like in the summer, you don't
want to do
work
this
as much. You go out more.
Yeah. No, but even like, but I still think that there's a culture, even like, I mean, I don't know over here, but at least in the U.S., like even in places where it's warm, like to have like a so-and-so like, or so-called cuffing season because of the holidays. Like, I don't know, like, for example, like, Lulu and Lucan live in L.A., and it's warm in the winter.
Yeah.
And they still, like, know what cuffing season is. It's still a thing there. And it doesn't, like, necessarily get that cold.
Do you think it's an American thing?
I think it's 100% an American thing. But I'm just saying that, like, I don't think it's about the cold. Like, I think it's partially, like, you want to stay inside, but it's, like, mainly about the holidays.
But also, like, you have a different culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the islands.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your culture's... Well, you tell me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't have a cuffing season. I know that when it comes to the holiday season, let's say now Christmas, it's, like, the biggest party days of the year. And right after Christmas, we have Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the biggest time of the year, and it's like Halloween. Mm-hmm. But instead of being scary, it's another opportunity for men and women to go out on the streets and kiss the one you would like to kiss. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's hoeing,
that's a cute way
hoeing
to put
season.
It. So it's just always hoeing season. That's the culture.
Most of the time, yeah. And all the parties they do with the big music festivals. I don't want to be mean or take it in an incorrect way, but taking into account festivals, Carnival, Halloween, and all of this, it's like the opportunity for girls to dress up the way they want to dress without being
like slutty. Like they have an excuse to be slutty.
Not slutty could be one, but it's an excuse for girls to dress as they want without being
criticized
by it.
Yeah, so without being shamed for being slutty.
I mean, it doesn't have to be slutty. She can dress up as a fireman if she wants to. But nobody's going to say something because it's Carnival. You can dress up as you like.
Okay. Same with guys. They can dress however they
absolutely
want. Not get criticized.
Yeah, you can dress up as a girl and walk around as a Disney princess and have a cigarette in your mouth. So nobody's going to say anything.
Cigarette.
Mm-hmm. No, nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity to do whatever you want.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I just think there's different traditions, different holidays. Like, in terms of, like, culture in the U.S. and, like, the islands. So it's, like, that's why there's, like, a difference in, like, the cuffing season and not.
If I see my friends who live in the island and have a partner, they have their partner now for 4 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
And the plans they do is not about staying at home and cooking, baking cookies.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking the car and going to the mountains,
mm-hmm.
having a hike. Having having lunch on the beach.
Yeah.
So it's more of an outside activity rather than
But that's what
inside.
We do in the summer.
So
because it's warm all the time. Also.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do summer activities all year long because it's hot all the time.
Yes, but they I don't know, it's like,
what I'm
it's
saying.
A
it's
really loving relationship they have.
But that's also not the point of what we're talking about.
Yeah,
right
absolutely.
Now.
Okay. So do we think cuffing season is toxic? Or the idea that it's toxic?
I don't really know. Because you're just having a partner throughout wintertime. I don't know where the toxic side of that is.
I mean, I think it's just like kind of like... I think it's just kind of like a lot of like pressure to get into this relationship, so it could be toxic at times. Like,
do
I know
you
that
feel a lot of pressure in like the fall and winter to get into a relationship?
No.
Not here, but at home and
really?
Like the States, I think
seriously?
That it's a huge thing. I mean, like,
I guess it changes if like a lot of your friends are in relationships.
I mean, yeah, it depends. I mean, I really haven't participated in cuffing season for like four years now, so it's just like kind of like I don't really know how it feels in like my adult young adult life.
Do
yeah
but
do most of your friends have girlfriends or boyfriends?
Not since we've gone to college, but like in high school, yeah, basically.
Seriously?
All my friends had. I mean, yeah.
All my friends are single.
I would say like 60%.
I mean not
single.
All of them. But for my friends, 70-80%
single. No, actually, yeah, most of my friends are single.
Yeah.
I have a couple in relationships.
Like, yeah, no, like basically every single one of my friends now is single.
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah. I would only get into, I mean, my point of view, I want to get into a relationship personally when I feel alone. That's
yeah,
when
of course.
I think, oh, I would like to have someone, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then I go and see my friends, and I'm like, thank God I don't have a partner.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah. Anyways, do you think it's toxic, Lauren?
Not necessarily. I don't think it's toxic per se. Mm-hmm. I think if you're really strong on the like, I get lonely in the fall and winter, and then you get like a partner, and then by summer, if you're doing like that type of cycle, which I don't know a lot of people who do.
I don't either.
Like.
But
how you would think the, like, cuffing season cycle would go, like,
yeah.
In the colder months, you... Sorry, I'm referencing weather, but it's just easier call it that way.
Okay.
Like, in the colder seasons, like, you get a partner, and then by the warmer seasons, you, like, end it, and then you get another partner. Like, if you're doing it that way, which I don't know anyone who does, to be honest, then that's obviously toxic.
I don't either, but that's also the reputation around it.
I mean,
there's, like, no one I know, like, personally at all who does that, but there is, like... I feel like that's
maybe,
the way
yeah.
it's referred to. It's like, oh yeah, hot girl summer, and then you go into cuffing season, and then it's hot girl summer again. It's like, I mean, at least like on like Twitter and like social media, that's how it is.
You know,
trade.
maybe in our culture, my culture personally, the thing we do take care of is to be single during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to make sure.
Yeah, like you want to make sure to be single in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what I make sure of myself.
Okay.
But
because when we go out, you want to have fun.
But why does fun have to revolve around, like, women? Why is it, or whoever you're attracted to, why can't it revolve around friends?
How do you mean revolve around friends?
Like, you're like, oh, I want to be single in the summer to have fun.
Yes.
Meaning you want to sleep with women.
Yes.
But why can't your fun just be about being with friends, not necessarily about sleeping with women?
I mean,
do you get what I'm saying?
We all go single into the summer, and we try to leave single the summer. Some of them just get caught up with someone. I don't know, you just want to be single for the summer. It's the time where everyone goes out, has fun, and you
but
get
in
to...
But
I mean, it's, maybe you get to kiss the person you like, you know? So you want to be single. You don't want to be attached to someone and then seeing the person you like with another
person. But if you're
person.
Attached to someone, you like that person and you get
but
to be
But what if
them.
It's my case and I do cuffing season in Paris to not be alone, but I don't want to be unloyal?
Yeah.
So when the summer comes and I go to
break
Tenerife, break up so I have a hot lady summer or whatever it's called.
Yeah, so then that's,
summer,
yes. that's
so,
the toxic cycle.
Yeah, that's toxic then.
Yeah.
Because if I don't want to be unloyal to them, I stay loyal. But I get even more heartbroken because I see the girl I love with another one.
Yeah.
And it's not me.
So I think that in conclusion...
There
is a certain way that you can participate in the culture that could be toxic. But it's not necessarily toxic in its, like, own definition.
I mean, if both of you agree to be single during the summer or if it is an open relationship, please go and do whatever you want. But as I said before, that would bother me a lot, entering the summer with a person which is not the one I'm looking for.
Well, yeah.
But
no,
why would you be with the person
not...
that you're not looking for anyway?
Because it's cuffing season. I don't live in the place I would love
okay,
to be.
Okay, this is very specific,
you know,
to your situation.
Yeah, this is...
All right,
because you're stuck on one person.
You also have it. What if you have a crush in the U.S., but you start cuffing season here in Paris, but then when you go back to the U.S., you see this person, but you don't want to break the heart of your partner because they're very in love with you, so you don't do anything, and you see the person you like with someone else. It's going to bother you.
Yeah.
It's going to really bother
you. So, I mean, then I think that especially for us, the idea of cuffing season is, like, why would you do it now? Like, because, like, then we're going to go home. Which
just,
potentially
just
is like
just wait for that person
thousands of
see.
Miles away.
Yeah.
And then like it's like you're separated from someone for like half the year and it's like I don't know. But
so just hold around.
It's kind of like I feel like it's like person to person. It can change.
Yeah, it's definitely this is a very specific situation, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to thank Bosco for coming on.
Yeah, thank you,
thank you for having me. Hope to be back very soon.
Yeah, you know, we'd love to have you back.
Absolutely.
But thanks, you guys, for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Vez que eu soube o que pensa, soube de tudo e fiquei como quem não vive no mundo. E daí esse meu silêncio profundo.
This is AUP Radio on WRP. You just heard Silly Little Chit Chat. Stay tuned for Chefing It Up. And we're back with the show.
Hello, welcome to Chefing It Up. My name is Emma Kelly, and today we have a very special guest. What's your name?
I'm Mike Hall.
Where are you from, Mike Hall?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay, dope. Well, before we get started, just a little recap of what we do every week. So every week we have someone from a new place, new country, whatever, come on, and then we talk through a full course meal that reminds them of home. So, Mike, how do you know me? Let's start there.
Oh, boy. Well, 8 years ago.
8 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, 8 years ago. It was a wild time. We met somewhere in Nashville.
Somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee, at a surprise party for my mother.
It was a very big surprise. I didn't even know it was happening.
I didn't either until we were there. It was very weird.
It was indeed very weird. But it was fun to meet all of the people that, both of our parents, actually. Well, my mom and dad and just your dad all studied with when they went abroad.
Yeah, and where was that?
Austria, Germany.
Nice. Yeah, that was the first and only time that Mike and I actually hung out.
Yes, first and only. You heard
first
that
and
correctly.
Only, except for now, 8 years later, he's staying in Paris for the week with his friend Asher, and I thought it would be a cool idea to bring him on the podcast.
And I agreed. It is a cool idea.
Yes, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate that. Anyways, so we got an appetizer, a main meal, and then a dessert that reminds you of home, and then honorable mentions at the end if you have any. And then we're just going to have a conversation, and it's going to be chill, and we get to talk about food.
Awesome. Sound good? I love food so much.
I know you do.
I'm going to be so hungry after this.
I already am so hungry, so it's off to a good start. But actually, the first day that Mike got here, he forced himself.
Yeah, I did force myself to cook for Emma.
Yes.
It was great.
And it was actually really good. It was something I never had before. Do you have a name for it, or is it just the dish?
It's just a chicken pappardelle.
Nice. Except we used, what, tagliatelle?
Yeah, so it was really just some chicken and whatever pasta we had.
Yeah. I mean, it worked, and it was delicious.
Work.
But I did not let Mike tell me what he chose, because I wanted the element of surprise, as I always like for this podcast. But what did you pick for your appetizer?
Oh, yeah. For my appetizer, it's just a simple charcuterie board. And by simple, I mean whatever meats and cheeses you can find on sale at your local market.
Okay.
That's just typically something that my family and I would do every so often.
Okay.
I would run over to the nearest area and just find all of the discount cheeses and spend about $20.
Nice.
And then the next thing you know, we'd get some other meats, random stuff that would probably be going bad that day or in the next couple of days.
Smorgasbord, charcuterie board.
Oh, it was a very boring charcuterie board indeed, but it's
there's
the event.
There's no such thing as a boring charcuterie board.
It's the event surrounding it that gives it its life.
Yeah. What was your favorite one that you made? What did it consist of?
I don't even know the names of the cheeses, honestly.
Just
I just know that it was some good cheese. It was definitely old.
Okay.
And Shoot, I'm trying to think of what meats we added onto it. It was just a bunch of random stuff that we had on hand, like deli sliced turkey.
Yum.
And then some chorizo that was good already stuff. Cooked. So it was like,
oh, interesting.
It was interesting because it was just leftover, basically.
So a smorgasbord, charcuterie board.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was great.
That's awesome. I feel like, so whenever I do that here, I always go out and get stuff because I don't normally keep cheeses and meats in my fridge because it's usually filled with, you know, my vegetarian meat options. But ha. I know, it's really funny. But I really like adding, you know, pickles, like the little... Have you seen
Oh,
the
yeah, the
here?
Little dough pickles?
Yeah, yeah. And
oh, yeah.
Olives. And olives we need are baguette, amazing. Of course.
Of course, you're of in course. Paris.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And I just feel like a charcuterie board here is just extra special. But I often forget that people do them.
Yes, we do. We attempt to, at least.
Well, no, you don't attempt. You do. And you do it in a other style. So this is an Ohio style.
We could call it an Ohio style. I mean, it's not like Ohio is renowned for its cheeses and meats. Mm-hmm. We are renowned for corn.
Oh, corn?
Yeah.
What dishes do you make with your renowned corn?
Literally none, because I don't like it.
You don't like corn?
Okay, no. I like buttered corn.
Like corn on the cob.
Other than that, there's not really that many great ways to use it.
I feel like you could do like a cold corn salsa kind of vibe.
Oh, you can always put it into like a country stock pot, basically,
yeah.
Where you've got crab, mushrooms,
ooh, yum.
Shallots, and then your like cubed potatoes.
Okay.
And and then you just take some corn, cut it in half, and throw it in as well.
Beautiful. Sounds
so
delicious.
So it's just really easy stuff. You just put it all in boiling water.
Mm-hmm. What seasonings do you add there?
You can do whatever. Salted water, obviously.
Duh.
And then... some of the crab is done with, like, smoked paprika.
Ooh.
Which is really, really interesting.
You know, I've really been craving, like, a seafood boil. Is that what it's called when you just
basically
have,
a seafood
yeah.
boil.
I've been really craving that recently, and I'm not sure if there's any places that do that in Paris. But there is a really good barbecue place. Not the same ooh. Thing at all. But I've been meaning to try it. So maybe I'll just do that instead. I don't know.
You know what they say about barbecue? It's the fish of the land.
Interesting. I've never heard that, but thank you. Thank
oh,
you
you're
for
welcome.
That. Thank you so much.
I've also never heard it before.
Okay, well, so, you're a comedian then. You're just...
I am a comedian. Mic drop.
So, your main meal. I'm really intrigued. What did you pick, and why did you pick it?
Oh, it is the chicken pappardelle as the main meal. And the reason for this is my mom was super sad that I was going to be leaving for college soon.
Aw.
And so she tried to sign me up for a Bon Appetit subscription.
Oh, God.
And it fell through, but... Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of old Bon Appetit magazines around our house, at which point she told me to just take a stack of them
and bring them with me. And where do you go to university again?
Belmont University down in Nashville, Tennessee.
So what the heck are you doing in Paris right now?
I'm actually studying abroad this semester,
mm-hmm.
not in Paris, fun fact, but actually in Belfast, right yeah. there in the middle of Northern Ireland. And we're on our... really, really long 3-week
which
Easter
is
break.
Insane. We get like a long weekend.
Yeah, we finish up our classes like after the first week of April,
mm-hmm.
and then we have all the way until the first week of May.
That's nuts.
Before we need to actually show up again and take exams.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, all the university students.
And this is at what school again?
Queen's University
okay.
in Belfast.
Cool.
All of the Queen's students. You know, are not traveling because mm-hmm. they're taking like 3 classes, mm-hmm. whereas all of us at Belmont, we were only told to take 2.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so
cool.
We're taking fewer classes and we're doing basically
more time to travel.
By that. And it's a lot less work than what we're used to back in the States as
How
well.
How many classes do you take at Belmont as compared to
okay, at Belmont, I'd usually end up taking anywhere from... 5 to 6 classes a semester.
That's nuts because here at AUP, and like, you know, it's the only school that I've really done classes at, or not really, it is the only school I've done classes at, we take 4. You can take more, but it's like quote unquote overloading.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister who goes to Ithaca, I'm not sure if I told you yet.
No,
but
you
she
have
goes
not,
to Ithaca,
but now I know.
New York. Yeah, now you know. She takes like 5 or 6 too, and I wonder why that's the case, why we only have 4.
Well, it can also just be course load.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Europe centers around individual work and individual study, and that's really, really heightened.
See, I would agree and think yes on that, but we're an American university. That's, like, it's not European education-centered.
That is weird, then.
I know, right? It's bizarre. I feel like four is too little. I feel like sometimes I should have more work.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, actually, I really do. But I don't know. So, yeah, anyways, what classes are you taking at Queen's this semester?
At Queen's, well, because I'm studying abroad, I'm actually taking Queen's classes and Belmont classes.
Okay,
as
so
well.
You actually are taking how many?
In total, I'm actually taking four.
Okay, are the other two online, I'm assuming?
The other two, they're partially online, asynchronous, but
okay,
with
cool.
like a Zoom meeting that you can show up to.
But it's not required?
Not necessarily.
No? What's the time difference between Belmont and Belfast?
6 hours.
Okay, so it's the same as here. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's...
No,
so
it was 5 hours.
Five.
My bad, 5 hours.
Well, similar
we do
range.
Daylight savings weird, in which the U.S. does it before the U.K. did.
Yeah.
So,
it's like another hour for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, your classes that are at home, right?
Yes.
Or in Belmont. If you do join online, is it at a funky time because of the time zone, or does it work out? Did you schedule it that way? Or?
The online ones tend to work out very well just because I'm taking like a writing workshop that is completely asynchronous.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We just are given what to write about and then some like practice exercises to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, maybe this will get your creative juices flowing.
So
you
is
don't
it
need
a creative
to do it.
Writing class?
It's not necessarily creative writing, more like because we're all studying abroad, they just want us to write about our experience.
Oh.
Have it documented.
Okay, so it's like journaling the thing.
It's more journaling, I feel like, than it is creative writing.
Okay.
It's more how do I tell everybody about my experience
cool.
and captivate them.
So that one's at Belmont. What's the other one that you're doing with Belmont?
The other one that I did with Belmont is a like wellness seminar, which is required. And
oh, really?
So, yeah, it's required because we're all in the honors program.
Gotcha.
So we have to take like an honors wellness, and that can be, it's not just like physical wellness. It's spiritual, developmental, behavioral wellness, and like financial wellness. So it's like, we have like 10 different dimensions of wellness that we learn about.
Okay.
And I don't know how to explain what we do with it, but...
It's just a wellness program.
Yeah, it's really like a wellness program. That's the best way to really describe it. And we do like some projects for it. Like, oh, here's how you can better financial wellness.
Cool.
And how can financial wellness relate with your spiritual wellness as well? That was a lot of wells.
No, but you know what? The wells are good. They're well for the well. So the classes at Queen's that you're taking, because you're a business major, correct?
I am.
So what classes are you taking?
I'm actually taking a really, both of them are really fun and not exactly what you picture as like, quote unquote, business. I have a managerial economics class, which is a lot about like theoretical applications to business.
Yeah.
Rather than actual business models and charts, graphs, Excel worksheets and stuff like that. It's like agency theory, information theory, game theory was unit for a while, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
And interacting with those types of like economic theories and then taking cases from the past and trying to figure out which theories you could apply. Like when like differences between Ryanair and other non-budget airlines.
Cool.
What makes Ryanair effective and what makes it not so great?
Okay.
So how do they afford all the cheap flights for everybody else?
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's just cutting costs wherever possible. And why don't other airlines do that? And the reason is Ryanair doesn't care.
Okay.
Good. Ooh, that rhymes.
Ryanair doesn't care. No, so, okay. Like we've said a couple times, you're in Belfast.
Yes.
How is the food over there? Anything that you've picked up that you want to bring back to Belmont, back home?
Ooh, the food is strange. I feel like every single time I'm getting food, I like need to make sure I'm carrying my own seasonings.
Yeah, it's like that in France too sometimes.
It's really, really different. But then sometimes, you know, I'll go somewhere and I'm like, oh my God, this is the best pizza I've ever had.
Okay. What's the best meal that you've had in Belfast? Excuse me.
So one of the best meals I've had was actually at this like pizza bar.
Okay.
So imagine Subway, but like with pizza. So, ooh. But not like Blaze or Mod pizza like we have in the States.
Okay.
You will go up there, make it, and then they will actually put it into their stone-fired oven. And it will still take like a good 20 minutes. It's not fast-fired pizza.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a place that I know back in Jacksonville, Florida. I cannot remember the name, but it's essentially the same thing. You build your own pizza, and then they put it in, and then they take it out and bring it to you. It's really,
you don't
really
need to always build your own pizza as well. You can just walk in, sit down at a table, and you've got a menu. Order.
Oh, nice.
And the place is called Orto, which is right near, like, right in between where I'm living in Belfast and where my campus is.
Okay, so how far is the campus from where you're living?
It's about it can be a 20-minute walk. Sometimes when I'm late, I make it a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
It just depends on if you're able to cross the street every time.
Yeah. Or so I live 20 minutes from campus. It's not a bad walk at all. But sometimes when I am late, I can speed walk. And back in the fall when I was taking the bus every day because my hip was really bad, the road to get to the bus is a super busy street. Like a lot of times if it's the little red guy, you can still walk. But this street, man. Absolutely not. So one time the bus was like coming, but the little guy was red, so I couldn't walk, and I missed it, and the next one wasn't for like another 20 minutes. So then I ended up having to sprint walk.
Yeah.
Even faster than I already had been. It was a pain in the butt, but...
Pain in the hip, I bet.
It was a real big pain in the hip, it really was. No, but let's get back on...
Right, yes, food.
Yes. What is your main meal? You already told me that.
Yes, the chicken pappardelle, and right, to get back on topic with that, it was more about... that was the first real meal that I basically used out of a magazine.
Is that something that you now like to do more often, or is that...
Oh, I totally like to do that a lot more often, just because, well, a lot of times you go for recipes online, you end up on, like, some sort of a blog.
Yeah, and you just scroll for, like, 5 minutes.
And you have to scroll 5 minutes, and I'm like, I want food.
Oh, my God. Just tell me what the god darn ingredients are.
And then so I open up a magazine, and it's like, it's right there. Here's what you need.
And they also have the really pretty pictures right there.
So that way I know how to serve it.
So what are a couple of your favorites that you've picked up, other than the chicken pappardelle?
There's, like, a little broccolini salad.
Is this the one really that you're telling me about?
Yes. Yum. It's a little, like, topper that you can use for a lot of meals.
Okay.
And, like, it just pairs perfectly with so many things.
You know, I've never actually had broccolini. I've had it in restaurants a couple of times.
They don't have it in Belfast.
They don't.
And
I love broccolini.
It's great. It's
so good. And, like, I love that it just essentially tastes the same, but it's longer. And they're so cute. And they soak up, I think, more flavor than a normal broccoli.
They really do.
Does.
Especially when, like, you can use it and you can, like, especially if you're making, like, pasta or something, you put it in with your pasta.
And it absorbs all that.
It just does.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I've made a few other, like, come grilling season, I did a really nice kebab.
Ooh,
with it.
Yum.
That the recipes were like, you know, this is actually something I might start following.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, going on to a blog or something and looking at it and going, no, I don't need to do that. Or I need a lot more ginger. Like,
yeah,
some of these things are like, oh, yeah, they're you only need like half a tablespoon.
Or sometimes they'll be like, oh, you only need like one clove of garlic. And I'm just like, maybe I'll make it for it because you can never have too much garlic. Yeah. Sometimes
you can, but even then it's easy to dull out.
Exactly. You can
it's easy to
else.
Fix too
what
much
is,
garlic.
What would be your recommendation for fixing too much garlic?
Ooh.
I guess it depends on the dish, right?
It really does depend on the dish.
Let's
if it's going to be more of like a heat type of flavor that you're going for and you add too much garlic in, the best thing to do is take the garlic out, honestly, and then you can just
keep the flavor in there.
Yeah, then it really balances out a little bit more. It's just, oh, I added too much. You can easily take some out. If you're unable to take some out, you can use white wine or a good like low alcohol cooking wine.
Beautiful.
And that will really help.
What about, because I did this last night with my salad dressing, he added a whole clove of garlic and it was a fat clove of garlic, but then the chunks were too like too chunky. What would you recommend after that? Because I don't know if the flavor of the garlic would necessarily stay in the dressing.
If you've noticed you've got like too many like chunks, and if you're preparing this on like a pan,
mm-hmm.
reduce the heat.
Salad dressing.
Salad dressing
then
is tough.
Then you're kind of messed up.
Salad
you
dressing is
up.
Tough.
You done goofed.
If you have a strainer or like a mesh sieve, that would help
See,
so
I do not.
Much.
I have a strainer, but it's a pasta strainer. And it I is think a like all the garlic and everything else are just kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a sieve.
It's not a sieve. I didn't actually know that was the name of it.
Oh, really?
No, I did not.
It's perfect, especially when you're making rice. It makes all the difference.
I hope people don't cancel me over this, but I'm new to like washing my rice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would maybe do a quick rinse or whatever, but recently I've just been putting it in that big green bowl that I have.
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen it, if anyone is listening to this, because I don't know who listens to this. It's a massive, it's about like if you hold your hands out in front of you into like a little circle, it's a bowl that's about that big. It's plastic. It's green. Someone left it from like a party that we had.
Oh,
and
cool. Free bowl.
Exactly. That's why I love hosting, because people leave stuff all the time. It's the best part, honestly. But, oh, the rice.
Yes, the rice.
The rice. I will put it in there and I'll put some water and cover it. And then I like swish it around after washing my hands and just keep repeating that until the water's practically clear.
That's what you should do. Yes.
I know, but I'm new to that. And it's actually, I don't know if I would rather do it on a sieve just because like that process is fun. It's kind of relaxing.
Yeah, totally. It's all up to you.
Plus, how can you tell if the water is like clear slash the rice is truly clean if you're just sieving it through?
If you're sieving it through, you'll actually notice this right away because the starch will start to like come out of the rice. So like basically the color of your faucet as it comes out and then goes through the rice.
Well, that makes sense.
It'll come out as a different color.
If you cook the rice with the starch, what difference does that really make?
Is
it more
the starch,
of just a hygienic thing, or
it all sticks together? It doesn't cook as evenly.
Okay,
and
I didn't
it never
know that.
Comes out that fluffy.
Mm.
That's the big thing, especially with rice. You want fluffy. You want it to like be individual grains.
And how do you cut or Jesus? How do you cook your rice? Because my girlfriend was just like really shook about this. I put a thing of like a little bit of butter in there with the water.
Yeah.
And then I cooked it like that and then added more butter, salt, and pepper after it was done. But she'd never heard of that. Do you put butter in it?
I usually tend to stay away from the butter in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But after,
is there a reason why?
After it's cooked, then I'll mix it in with butter. And the reason being, I don't know why. I was just kind of steered away from it. I just...
Mm-hmm. It's a new thing that I've been doing the last couple of times. Like, I do find that there is a slight buttery taste to it. I do need to add more after, so maybe I just need to add more into the water.
Yeah,
it feels weird adding like a whole massive chunk into water.
No,
it's very weird.
It is weird, and the reason being the water just dilutes the flavor of butter.
You know what I'm thinking I could do instead? So I could like toast the rice a little bit with the butter and maybe some like, I don't know, maybe something else, maybe some seasonings. And then once it's toasted for a little bit, add the water, start boiling, and then simmer and cover it for the rest of it. I wonder if that would do anything.
I would add the butter when you're done cooking the rice. Then it's already fluffed up.
Mm-hmm.
And the butter will actually help like separate it a little bit as well. So you'll get those individual grains and it'll shimmer.
Ooh.
Which is really just, it's just aesthetic.
Recently, I've been actually adding like some red pepper flakes on top with some scallions or white onion, whatever it is. Green onion? Yeah, green onion. On top of it and mixing it in. And actually, like with the butter, the salt, and the pepper that's in there, beautiful.
Exactly. One of my mom's friends came over for dinner one time, and I just finished up with the rice. And he turned me on to something that was very, very different that I never heard of. You take like Old Bay seasoning.
Oh.
And you put it in with the rice on a stick of butter. Not like a full stick, but a comfortable amount for however many servings you've got.
You know bay leaves?
Yeah.
The bay seasoning made me think of this. If you stuck in a bay leaf while you were cooking your rice.
People do that. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's some sort of like blooming flower. You put salted water.
The Sterlies?
Yes, that's it.
It's something like that, I think.
Yeah, something around those lines. I don't know off the top of my head. But
Starnies.
You take the salted water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll add those blooming flowers in with the water and your rice.
Interesting.
You'll cover those flowers with the rice, and as the rice is ready, the star anise.
Star anise.
Star
anise.
We
were close.
We got this. We got this. Star anise. Yes, those are so good.
Yeah, I bet.
It adds such a It's not like a complex flavor.
You ever had, sorry to interrupt, but rice pilaf?
What?
Rice pilaf? You don't know what rice pilaf?
No.
So for, they have the Uncle Ben's like microwavable ones. So whenever you go back to the States, definitely find it.
Oh, we do have those.
Oh, beautiful.
Even in Belfast. I mean,
I can't
also
really
like,
find rice pilaf here though. That's
here,
the thing.
Here's the problem though. The Uncle Ben stuff is like 4.5 pounds.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
So it's way too expensive.
Yeah, but so my mom also has like the one that you do in the water. It's basically, so it's like rice, like regular rice. It has like a yellow tinge. I don't know why. And then there's like these little orb thingies. Let me see if I can pull it up to show you so I can read it. So rice pilaf. What? Why is this being weird? The heck? It went all the way down to the bottom of the page. So they have rice pilaf is toasted in butter, which gives a nutty flavor, and then it's cooked in broth with additional spices. Mm. But my favorite part, at least in the one that my mom has that we make, that I have at home, there's like these little, there's a different type of pasta. It's almost like orzo, but it's not. It's like a different variant thing.
Okay.
But that with all the flavoring, it's just so freaking good. I recommend it. I'll send you a picture of the one that I have whenever I find it, and I'll give it to you. But we are totally off topic.
We are.
What was the dessert that you picked? I'm so interested to see what you picked.
So for dessert, you don't take like your already frozen Snickers bars. You take an actual Snickers bar that you get from like the counter. Put that in the freezer instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then some Chips Ahoy's. Now, hear me out, though. You take the Chips Ahoy, and you put them on a microwavable plate, put them in the microwave for 30 seconds, and they become gooey on the inside while still maintaining
Man, I miss Chips Ahoy.
That. So you still somehow get a crunch out of it as well.
But it's gooey on the inside.
And it's warm and gooey.
Ooh, that sounds wonderful.
And it's more of a texture thing than it is a taste thing.
Uh-huh. And wait, so where does the Snickers come into this? Is it like a ice cream sandwich kind of vibe?
Kind of an ice cream sandwich kind of vibe.
That's awesome.
But the Snickers is, you kind of take the Snickers out as you're microwaving the Chips Ahoy's.
Okay, and then they soften a little
bit. It kind of softens a little
bit. So frozen Snicker.
Yes, but not with ice cream Snickers.
No, but like a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
So you take it out once you're microwaving the cookies, so then it can melt a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
De-harden so you can soften, I think, is the actual proper
softens.
Word. So it can soften, so you can actually eat it. And then do you put it in between the two cookies?
No, you just go between the two.
Okay. Do you have a name for this, or is this just an invention? How did you come up with this? Is this a thing native to Ohio?
Well, this was a thing where my dad would always come home late from traveling.
Mm.
So he just always wanted, like, a Snickers bar. Because this episode is not sponsored by Snickers, but you're not you when you're hungry.
You're not. And honestly, one time I was studying and I was doing work and I was being a real meanie because, not meanie, I was grumpy because I was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down to the vending machine, which I can show you after if you do want a Snickers.
I would love a Snickers now that we're on the topic of it.
Me too. And I had one and I came back up and I was like, I'm better. And I was like, because you're not you when you're hungry.
I don't know why. I really always looked at those ads and commercials and went, haha, false.
Yeah, no, but it's true. And
it really
is weird how much it helps because, like, I'm normally more of a Mars bars kind of gal.
Oh, yeah, totally understand.
So good. Or what do they call it? Twix? I like Twix, especially
right
if I'm
in
the mood for them. I don't really care.
Mm.
Is there a difference?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't remember off the top of my head which one is which, but
there's actually a difference?
There is actually a difference.
But why?
The two creators of Twix couldn't agree on how much caramel to nut ratio they should have. So
okay.
One of them
I
had
the right
more.
One has more caramel.
One of them has more caramel. One of them has more nut.
I did not know that.
So
I didn't even know there were nuts in Twix. You mean like that powdery thing
the,
that's
the,
in
the
it? Like
the
biscuit?
The biscuit, yeah.
Yeah.
My bad.
Interesting. I love Twix. I think if I had to pick a favorite candy bar, it would be a Twix.
Yeah, same. I love it.
Are you more of like a chocolate or a sour candy kind of person? Or something else?
Honestly, it depends on the mood. I mean, I love sour candy
Me
to the
too.
Point
oh.
where like
I have to
my
show
roof
you.
Of my mouth will like
burn
die.
And your tongue is like in pain.
Exactly.
Like, I have to show you the rainbow candies that they have here.
Okay. That sounds great.
They're so good.
I do they're also so like when it comes to chocolate, it's gotta be dark chocolate.
See, like, I used to like dark chocolate because I was a pick me girl. and I just was like, oh, it's just so good. I like it every now
having
and then.
Having known you 8 years ago.
Yeah.
8 years ago, yeah. You were a pick me girl.
Hey, you
girl.
Still liked it.
Okay,
which says
yes,
a lot about
true.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
You were weird, too.
I was very weird.
We were both weird. High five. anyway, no, but now I'm really, really into white chocolate.
Okay.
Which is something that I used to say that I hated because, once again, pick me girl. But the Magnum ice cream bars.
Dude, the Magnum ice cream bars
the,
go
but the white
so
chocolate
hard.
One.
Even the white chocolate ones.
No,
there's
specifically the white chocolate ones. At last semester, Charlotte and I would get like the assortment ones with the mini uh-huh. Magnums. And I would always just eat the white chocolate ones. And I was so surprised because I used to hate white chocolate.
Yeah.
But I prefer that one over the chocolate one or the caramel chocolate one, which is something that really got me.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is super dangerous, but there is this 24 hours, not necessarily a grocery store, like convenience store on the way back between campus
mm-hmm.
and our dorm.
Ooh.
And now let me also say this. We also have, like, our campus is in between all of the other restaurants, bars, pubs that are more downtown.
Cool.
So every single time that we're walking back on, like, mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday nights, and we see that bar is open,
oh, yeah.
And we're all like, I want, like, ice cream.
You're like, sad eye emoji.
And so we'll be, like, the six American kids
yep.
going open to this counter
yep.
because... Let me also backtrack a little bit. It's open 24 hours, but you cannot mm-hmm. walk in to the store after like 9 o'clock.
Okay. You know that bodega thing that I took you to on Tuesday?
Yes.
At a certain hour, I think it's like 12:31-ish,
yeah.
they have the door and then like you can't go into the actual store, but they have like
a window
that the person will go get stuff and bring it out for you.
Exactly. That's what happens because it's late and we're also like six American kids who are probably – way too plastered for six American kids.
Yeah.
But
it's okay. You just can't handle your alcohol yet. It's okay.
Oh, we do. We go in debt.
Okay, but like me too. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're all doing this stuff and like more often than not, we're actually just like being bought drinks by the local Irish people.
Hey.
Which is so much more fun.
Yeah.
Because then we actually get to meet them and that's the experience
and,
of studying
yeah.
abroad where you're not just surrounded
you
by Americans.
Yourself in the culture.
Culture, that's what it's for.
Hashtag culture.
And then we're all going back to Spar, and we see the guy running the place, and he sees us, and he just knows.
He just
knows
like
us now.
It's like a mutual acknowledgement.
Exactly. I can just walk up there, and I just hand him my Visa card, and I go, ice cream.
Well, on that note, we actually are out of time, but let's go get Snickers.
Snickers.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having
me. Once again, my name's Emma, and thank you for listening to Chef and Up.
I got my nose up in the air. I got my fingers to the sky. I can smell them coming from everywhere. I can hear them from down the block. Ooh, you just pack up dogs, but everybody likes their boys with toys.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP.